All right, here we go. My name is Jeff Kay, and this is the West Virginia Surf Report Podcast. Check this shit out. Last night I was driving home from work, and I was driving through this industrial park. I cut through there. It cuts a few minutes off my trip home. So generally, that's the way I go. So it's like this two-lane, one lane going one way, one lane going the other way, you know. And it's slightly curvy. You know, I wouldn't say it's a winding road, but it's, you know, it's got some curve to it. And as I'm leaving work, to my left are these, you know, giant behemoths, these huge warehouses, distribution centers. They're just sitting shoulder to shoulder down this road. Big, hulking, million square foot. I don't know if they're that big, but you know what I'm saying. Big, giant facilities. They're off to the left. And to the right, a lot of it's just thick woods. So that's what I was driving. I was driving through this part of it where it was just nothing but, to my right, nothing but woods. And there, the street lights back in there are few and far between, so it's dark. It's 11:30, just driving along at a normal clip. And suddenly, this tall, lanky, this guy looks like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, emerges from the woods. It's completely dark. He's in the woods. I don't know. He steps out of the woods directly in the path of my car. So I'm driving along, you know, everything's normal. Suddenly, there's this Shaggy character 10 feet in front of my car. So, so I slam on the brakes, and I come inches from taking this guy out. If I hadn't been paying 100% attention to what was going on in front of me, if I'd have been looking off to the left, you know, checking something out on the left side, or fiddling with my radio because maybe like some Depeche Mode song come on, or Pink Floyd, and I gotta frantically change a channel, you know, something like that. This guy would have, all right, I would have hit him at a full, you know, 30 miles an hour. He would have crashed off my windshield and got launched high in the air like some kind of rag doll. You know, that's what would have happened. So it's a miracle I didn't hit him. I slammed him, and he didn't even seem. So this guy was probably on drugs. You know, he was probably funky on the junk. You know, he's in the woods at 11:30, complete darkness. What the fuck was he doing back there? You know what I'm saying? So he didn't even seem to be all that alarmed that this Chevy Cruze was bearing down on him. He just kept on walking. It reminded me of that video of Bigfoot, you know, where he's just strolling along and he just like turns to the left and like looks at, didn't change the pace at all. He's like kind of turns back and looks at me and keeps on walking, you know. It's very reminiscent of the Bigfoot video. So I was like, oh God, you know, my heart went from its normal, you know, laboring under the sludge, you know, the normal, you know, my resting pulse or whatever you want to say, to no pulse at all. So I went from the sluggish resting pulse to no pulse at all, quickly to 100 miles an hour. I mean, my heart went, man, that thing was launched, you know, and there's this massive adrenaline spike, you know, but a crazy thing is, I went through this series of emotions where, you know, as soon as this guy steps out in front of my car, my entire existence, everything I'm about is don't hit this guy, you know? Do not hit this guy. And that's everything in my life. That's the focus of my life at that point. And then there's this quick little bridge. It's just it doesn't last long. It's a bridge from the I can't hit this guy emotion over to white hot anger. So there's this little bridge where I'm like, whew, thank God, whew. And then it just like that's replaced very quickly by white hot anger, you know. So I went from I can't hit this guy to I want to turn this car around and hit this guy, you know. I didn't want to hit the guy accidentally, but after he put me through that ordeal, I wanted to turn around and hit him on purpose. You know what I mean? So that was a curious transition, but needless to say, I didn't run over the guy. I don't know. I'm not a complete idiot. Well, I mean, that's open for debate. But, you know, tangling with some junkie, you know, on some industrial, you know, like some dark road in an industrial park late at night, you know, it's probably something best to avoid. I mean, I don't know, you know. That's what my instincts told me anyway. I just kept on driving, but I was like full of fury. I'm gonna turn that car around, run this shaggy of the woods that just appear in front of my car. Oh, makes me angry just thinking about it. In fact, shaggy of the woods, you are the undisputed whistle dick of the week. What do you think about that? An impromptu edition. All right, so I can't remember ever coming that close. It probably has happened and I've forgotten, but I can't remember coming that close to hitting somebody. I can remember when I was a kid, my dad, all four of us were in the car. We were driving across the Dunbar Toll Bridge, where I would later be a toll collector. Thank you very much. But I was probably like 8 years old at this point. We're in the car, me and my brother in the back seat, my mom and my dad are in the front seat, driving across the toll bridge, leaving Dunbar, heading into Spring Hill. You know, can you picture it? Well, anyway, on the right, there's a sidewalk. And so there are these kids. They look like middle school aged. And I don't know what it is about kids that age. These guys are always like got their hands all over each other, like shoving each other. What is it? There's like a bunch of, you know, grab ass going on, like all the time, just constantly. So that's what was going on with that day. We were driving across the bridge, and one of the kids shoved one of the other kids directly in the path of my dad's car. And it was the same situation, you know. He just like slammed on the brakes, came inches from taking this kid out, and, you know, very similar situation, but I don't know where Shaggy came from. I don't know what he's doing back in the darkened woods. Maybe he worked at one of those warehouses. He's taking a break. Who knows? But anyway, he came very close to being, you know, being dispatched. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, there you go. Hell, I'm lucky I didn't find myself, like, trying to find a dumpster behind a grocery store where I skyhook my ruined undergarments into the into the thing, you know? But I just want it to be, for the record, I just want to know that I was able to maintain. Thank you very much. Last Monday, I told you guys about a problem I was having with Amazon where Tony's Mother's Day gift was plundered, just viciously plundered, and, So, as I recorded last Monday's episode, they were doing a, quote, investigation and trying to find out what really happened, which I found to be wildly offensive. What really happened? I can tell you what happened, all right? You want to know what happened? Somebody stole it, you know? Before it got to my house, somebody stole the Kindle Fire that I had so graciously purchased for my wife as a Mother's Day present. So, you don't need to, I think you should do an investigation, find out what UPS driver or UPS, truck loader stole the thing, I think you should definitely do an investigation. Or maybe one of your own employees, one of the Amazon folk might have plundered that thing. I don't know. But the fact that she kept saying, we need to find out what really happened. We have ways of finding out. All right. Well, step to it then. So anyway, there is now resolution to that story. If you want to read all the details about it, I wrote a long 1,000-word update about it at the West Virginia Surf Report website. You know, just head on over there, the WVSR.com. Check it out. I give you the details. I'm not 100% satisfied with the way they handled it, but I don't know. I'm not 100% dissatisfied either. So I don't know. You can read about it if you wanna. Basically, what they did is they gave me a refund, but they're not allowing me to rebuy the Kindle Fire at the sale price. So the thing is $30 more than it was the day I bought it. It was on sale. They said that, you know, we're going to refund you the money, but we're not going to allow you to buy it at the lower price, which I don't know what's going on. I don't know. I read a lot of stuff online because I thought they were going to come back and say, you're out of luck, buddy. You know, I thought there was a very good chance because, you know, even the woman even said, I was like on the phone. I wasn't going to go into this, but I was on the phone with this person. I was in this, I was talking to this, I don't know where this call center is, but everybody has this really bizarre accent. It's not the normal accent that you encounter in these situations, you know what I mean? And I can't understand a word they're saying. Or I can understand maybe like 25% of what they're saying. So it's very difficult. I'm agitated to begin with. And they're going on and on and on. And I can't understand what they're saying. I don't know. But she told me, you know, I said, I don't think it's, you know, I'm not real satisfied with that. I said, I appreciate you guys giving me my money back. However, I think you should allow me to repurchase the thing at the sale price. And she says, no. She just kept saying no. I mean, that was the entire sentence, you know? It wasn't like, well, I'm sorry, you know, there was no apology, you know? It was just no. It was like, I said no? She goes, no. All right, well, I understood that. So they're digging in their heels on this. She goes, and she even said this, and this is what I feared. She said, sir, as far as we're concerned... Now, check this shit. Tell me what you think about this. She goes, sir, as far as we're concerned, the package left our facility and was delivered to your house. I said, yeah, the package. It didn't have anything in it, you know? I said, I don't know. Did it leave your facility with something in it? Because by the time it got to my house, it certainly didn't have anything in it, you know? And she just sighed, you know, so I don't know if they did any kind of investigation. I don't think any, by the way, they were supposed to call me back. I'm getting steam just talk. You know, they were supposed to call me back on the 14th, they said, and nobody called me back, you know. I mean, that's just a bunch of baloney, hogwash, bringing it, I'm using all these current terms, you know, but nobody called me back, so I called them, and I got thrown into this world of this highly exotic accent. I don't know what this is. I don't know what it is. But anyway, I can't. And she's like, well, as far as we're concerned, it left our facility and was delivered to your house. You should be happy. That was the implication. She said, I don't know why you're unhappy, because we are giving you a full refund on the purchase price of this thing. I said, I that's good. I'm happy about that. I said, but I should be able to I said, I think you should just send me another one. I think that's the way it should be handled. She goes, no, absolutely not. She goes, we'll give you a refund. I said, but I can't buy it at the sale price. No. No, no. So, all right, well, not real happy about this. Well, I don't know why you're unhappy. Because I think we're the ones, you know, as far as we can see, the tracking shows, I'm like, the tracking, yeah, the box. I think it's a UPS driver. I mean, I don't know if it was our local driver. But I think it was a UPS employee, if I had to put money on it. You know, the thing was delivered to our house empty. So the tracking shows that it went, you know, I don't know. Also, it was one day late. There was like this big gap where it was like where it was stuck in some kind of facility somewhere. I bet that's when it happened, you know. So anyway, not real happy. There's a whole bunch of detail. If you want to read about it, I got some pictures up there of the box where somebody sliced open the Amazon tape on the bottom, retaped it with clear tape. I got pictures. You can see it. And I write about 1,000 words, which is a lot. You know what I'm saying? So you can read it and tell me if you think I should be happy or I should be unhappy or somewhere in between. I'm definitely somewhere in between. tilting more towards unhappy. But, you know, anyway. I'm digging. I don't, you know, it's a principle of thing. I'm not buying that thing. It cost me $30 extra. When just a couple days ago, a few days ago, you know, it was, I'm not doing it. So I don't know. Tony's not, you know, she's out temporarily. I mean, I'll buy her one eventually, but principle of the thing. I'm not buying that pan. I'm getting irritated. So let me know what you think about that. Check it out at the Surf Report webpage. Speaking of the Surf Report, you know, I started that website in like 2000, I think. Maybe like late 2000. I think that's when the first, you know, hard-hitting update went up. I think one of the first updates I wrote was about McDonald's had some kind of like kielbasa or something. Like, I don't know, they were, like, doing some kind of test marketing on this thing. It looked like a dog turd. The thing looked literally like a turd on a bun, you know? So that was one of the very first. Anyway, so that was late 2000. Prior to that, I did a zine, and it was also called the West Virginia Surf Report. It dates all the way back into the 80s, back into early 80s, maybe, you know? Maybe like 83, 84, somewhere in that vicinity. And so the last issue that I released as a paper zine was issue number 14. And it was like, I worked hard on it. I worked for a year on this thing. And it was like a real magazine. Well, I mean, compared to the previous ones, this was closer to an actual magazine than any of the other ones. And, you know, it's fairly thick, and there's a lot of writing in it, and I put a lot of effort into it. I haven't looked at it in many, many years. I'd probably grimace and groan at some of the stuff I wrote in there, but I worked hard on it. And, I got actual distribution on this thing, and it was available on Tower Records all around the world. I got letters from people in Tokyo saying they picked the thing up, you know. So, you know, there was it was around, you know, and, guy I work with went to, Baltimore the other day, last weekend, and, he was in Atomic Books, which is this famous, you know, super hipster bookstore. They carry a lot of zines. He was in there, and they had that issue of the West Virginia Surf Report, issue number 14, came out in 1999. It's still on their shelves. And he bought it. It was $2. They charged him $2 for it. It's literally 20-year-old stock. Still on the shelves at Atomic Books. So I think that's pretty cool. I think it's still out there. Hopefully he doesn't read it. Mildly concerned about that. I don't know. Who knows what I was a different person back then. Yeah, that was a long time ago. Yeah. Anyway, so anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. It's still on the shelves at Atomic Books in Baltimore. Also, that's the same place that who's it? What's the guy's name? God, I got Alzheimer's. You know, I got early onset. You know, the guy from the Pink Flamingos, dude with the pencil mustache. What's his name? I don't know. Anyway, he picks up his mail there. It's a famous place. Yeah, Atomic Books. Anyway, they had the Surf Report issue 14 in there. $2. I think they still have. Said they had like 3 of them. So it's time to reorder. Sold one, so they need to reorder from me. You know, probably be hearing from them soon. So anyway, that's a little brief history of the Surf Report. And so if you want to read about the Amazon situation in gory details, head on over to the WVSR.com. Check it out. There's photos and all kinds of, you know, ranting and, you know, various other things. Whew. All right. I guess now we can play the message that I got on the Surf Report hotline, the exciting new Surf Report hotline, which, if you want to leave a message, you want to leave a question, you want to leave a suggestion, whatever, what have you, you can head on over. Well, you don't have to head on over. Just call. Pick up your phone and call 570-290-8151. It's all voicemail. You'll hear my dopey voice on there greeting you, probably in a mildly insulting way. And just leave whatever message you want to leave there. And, you know, if it's not just just a bunch of people, if it's a legitimate question, I mean, if you go on there and just shout the N-word, you know, there's a very good chance I'm not going to use it. But if it's a legitimate question, I'll probably use it in a future episode. So if you want a question answered, or if you have some suggestion for me to, you know, for the website or for the podcast, you know, give us a call. 570-290-8151. The West Virginia Surf Report podcast hotline. Talk about modern. Whew, man, we are on the cusp. We're on the cutting edge. I don't know if we're on the cusp. We're out on the cutting edge. The bleeding edge. You hear people say that? We're on the bleeding edge. What the hell does that mean? I don't know. Anyway, give us a call. This is right now, this is the latest message received on the exciting hotline.
Hey, Jeff, this is Toby. I think I got a pretty good idea here for your podcast. Maybe you start reading some of your old posts and turn those into podcasts. Maybe some of the ones about Nancy and nostrils and the translucence. I don't know. I think that'd be pretty hilarious to hear those in your voice, because hearing you say the things that you think are funny make them even funnier to us. So, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the call, Toby. You know, that's not a bad idea. It really isn't. Actually, I used to do something like that back in the day. Very similar to what you suggest. It was on the radio on a morning show in Raleigh, North Carolina. The DJ, the guy who hosted the show, I don't know, do you call them DJs? I don't know. But the guy who hosted the morning show at this rock station in Raleigh, NC, contacted me. He used to read the website somehow. This was back when the website was kicking, you know. And he suggested that I, you know, he would select part of an update that I wrote, and I would read it over the phone, and he would do some production work on it and feature it once a week on his show. And I did that for a while, and apparently, I don't know, apparently people kind of liked it. I mean, the thing is, my performances in these things are nothing short of wooden, you know? I mean, every time I did one, I was like terrified. I was just awash in perspiration. You know what I mean? Just flop sweat, you know? But he'd send me the script, which is something I wrote, usually from the previous week. And I would read it over the phone, and he would edit it or whatever he did to it, work his magic, make it sound semi-professional, and present it on his show. And we did that for a while, and then I don't know what happened. Probably something to do with me. I probably blew it somehow. But anyway, so I like that idea. You know, I could do something similar now. I have to figure out how to do it in what context and whatnot. So that's a great idea. See, this is what I was hoping would happen with this with the hotline. The suggestions come in, stuff I've never thought about doing, and really good ideas. You know, so I'm going to have to give it some thought, and I might start doing something like that again. And just for fun, I thought I'd play one of these old things. I mean, you could hear. I mean, I'm about ready to, you know, pass out from anxiety during the recording of this thing. But here's a sample. This is I think it's like 2 minutes long. So check this out. This is just a random example. This one's called Jeff Buys Pants. So check it out.
Mike Wallace, Morley Safer, Diane Sawyer, and Andy Rooney all turned down an opportunity to do this segment. So now we proudly present a 60-second look at America with Jeff K.
Yesterday we went to the mall and a few other places of business that offer artificially conditioned air. Since we had ample time to kill, we went into some stores that we usually ignore, like The Gap and Hudson Belk. I mean, who buys $60 shirts? Seriously. As we entered the latter, a woman in a lab coat asked if we'd like to sample Tommy's latest fragrance. I don't know who Tommy is, perhaps an employee of the store, but I was certain I didn't want a whiff of his new scent, regardless of how proud he might be of it. I practically stiff-armed the woman and kept moving. Met some arrogant bastards in my life, but this Tommy takes the prize. Sending surrogates into a mall to round up strangers to partake of his essence. The man needs to be brought down a few notches, if you ask me. Saturday morning, I blew the seat out of yet another pair of jean shorts, and I thought Belk's might have some of their summer crap on clearance, and I could cheaply replace the exploded garment. It took us about 10 minutes to find the men's department. We first had to pass through a sea of expensive kitchen gadgetry and a Nebraska cornfield of bras and improbable panties on hangers. Finally, we found the men's clearance section, and it looked like a war zone. A good portion of the merchandise was on the floor, some emblazoned with a big gray shoe print, and others were strewn across the tops of racks and whatnot. It was one step above a Goodwill donation box. Found some shorts advertised at 75% off the original wildly inflated prices, and I thought I'd hit pay dirt, but it was not to be. They must have had 100 pairs of Levi's shorts in a size 26 and another 50 28s. I held up a pair, and I seriously don't think I could get one leg into them, even if the entire crotch was removed. Yeah, size 26 pants in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Great move, buying department.
Yeah, so there you go. I thought that was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't good, but anyway, that's what it sounded like. And he talked to me about doing syndication. I mean, the guy was like great, you know. Unfortunately, he's passed away. But anyway, we talked about maybe he's going to try to syndicate this thing. He was a radio pro. So anyway, I'm sure I blew it up somehow. Standard Jeff K fashion, you know. Just get right up to the edge of success. Yeah, sabotage it, self-sabotage the thing somehow. You know, that's the way it works. So anyway, I thought you'd might enjoy that. Thank you, Toby. That was a legitimately good idea, and I appreciate your call, and I appreciate your suggestion. So we're near the end of this, and I want to thank you guys for listening. And if you want to hear two West Virginia Surf Report podcasts per week, and I don't know, I can't even fathom the idea why you wouldn't. You know, you can do it. It's easy. There's two episodes every week, and the second one, which I call the Thursday show, doesn't necessarily come out on Thursday, but it's known affectionately as the Thursday show. Sometimes it comes out on Friday. You can access that thing by heading on over to patreon.com. That's P-A-T-R-E-O-N www.jeffk. Sign up for a $4 or more monthly donation. They call it a patronage, but it's a monthly donation. You stick it on a credit card. Comes out at the first of every month. And in exchange, or as a thank you for your monthly donation, you get access to the Thursday show, a second West Virginia Surf Report podcast every week. Nobody can hear it except the patrons, and that would be you. So if you want to be in, if you want to upgrade, you know, upgrade your experience, and head on over to patreon.com/JeffK. Sign up for a $4 or more. And when I say or more, $4 will unlock the bonus audio. But it can be any amount higher than above that. It can be $700 a month, whatever you're comfortable with. You can go with $4, you can go with $700, or anything in between, even higher, you know. So do that today if you're interested, and that's at patreon.com/JeffK. And we're near the end of this thing, so I want to thank you again for listening. And thanks for the support. If you know somebody that you think might like the Surf Report podcast, please tell them about it. You know, I want to try to grow the audience of this thing, and I'd appreciate your help. So, all right, we're at the end. So, thank you guys again. I'll see you on Thursday over at Patreon. Until then, have a good one. Bye. He didn't even seem, so this guy was probably on drugs, you know, he was probably funky on the junk, you know.